Okay, good. All right. Hello, everybody. Have a very special guest today, Mr. Joe from Seller Locker. Seller Locker, the top tool that I've seen to get back your money from Amazon. Because let's face it, Amazon is not just going to give over their money unless you demand, ask for it and demand for it. And in fact, if you don't use some sort of refund tool and service now, you are leaving so much money on the table. And I'm bringing Joe on to show you what he's doing for every seller right now, for thousands of sellers, actually. And so, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Nice talking to you again.
Yeah. Awesome. And your accent, I'm assuming you're in New York somewhere. Is that, am I getting that about right?
I didn't even know. Is that noticeable?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't. We were talking on the show, the pre-show, and I didn't notice it. But right when you said that, right now, when you answer that, I was like, oh, I got it. The New York, you know, so.
New York City.
Good deal.
Brooklyn.
Good deal. Brooklyn. Awesome, man. Awesome. There's actually, from what I know of, a very, very strong concentration of Amazon sellers out there.
Yeah.
And did you find Amazon through a community out there, or did you find it another way?
So no, I actually brought in watches on my own in 12th grade in high school. So 11th, 12th grade. My father and I started buying these whole, you know, watches overseas in China. Mm. And there was a time where we were ranked number 1, 2, and 3 for top sellers of watches in the country.
Not on Amazon, but though.
This is on Amazon.
On Amazon.
In 2013. Okay. But wow. Nobody told me about FBA back then. It wasn't so known. And we were doing these in our basement, one at a time, 600 to 1,000 watches a day, manually pick and packing when I got home. And that was just my first exposure. Had I known about FBA, you know, I probably could have been much, you know,
could have scaled it a little bit more. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So who found the watch? Was it you or was it your dad?
It was my dad. And he brought me in and said, hey, I got these great prices on watches. What can we do with it? And I said, I heard about Amazon. Let's just start looking at it.
Ooh, that's a great team. That's like a great story.
Yeah.
Father and son, you know, find the product and then you bring in the new school. And that's amazing. I mean, you were what, like 16 at that time?
Yeah, 16, 17.
16, 17. That's quite amazing getting started like that. I think it's such a healthy thing to get people working as young as, you know, physically possible. That's incredible. 2013 also being on Amazon. That's like, wow, it's pretty early, no? I mean,
yeah, I lost touch until again, 2018, because I didn't know how big it was going to be, or, you know, I went to school after. I didn't know it was to continue it. And I didn't know about FBA.
At that time,
I was a pick and pack guy.
Pick and pack guy. Wow. And so you guys were selling 600 units a day, plus, right? Maybe 800. Yeah. And then what, it died out at some point? Like why did you guys stop, or was he did it and just packed with someone else, or how did that business go?
The supplier decided to take it himself.
Oh, snap.
And that went, that time perfectly was starting to go to school, and that we just dropped it.
Wow. And because you already made the listings, you guys made listings?
We made the listings.
And it was their brand name.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
But again, it's the early days. I was so young. I didn't really know. This was a side item. It wasn't even, my dad wasn't even doing this full time. It was a side hustle at night for a few hours a night.
Did you get paid pretty well for that, or you got a cut?
$200 a week.
Okay.
My dad's
number one bestseller. Okay.
My dad took the rest.
Hey, man, but that's all right. Look, you learned, you got it. You got an ability to sell on Amazon. Like that's totally valid. And look where you are now. So let's move forward a little bit. So you said you lost touch. You went to school. Was that college or?
Overseas, religious studies overseas in Israel.
Awesome. How long did you do that for?
2 years. Okay. And then I came back to become an e-com manager by this company, Equity Brands. They have the license to many top premier brands on Amazon. And that's when I, you know, reinserted myself, became the e-com director, started getting very overwhelmed with scaling, as all sellers face. Decided, instead of trying to do everything myself, we got to start streamlining, creating SOPs, bringing in people to specialize in these tasks. You can't wear every single hat every single day.
Sure.
And in doing so, one of the biggest obstacles were reimbursements and getting overcharged on products on FBA, especially because we had big items, you know, Black & Decker air conditions, very heavy, expensive items that were getting lost. This just forced me to become reimbursement crazy because it was killing our margins, and there was nothing out there that was doing what I needed to be done, because I couldn't, for an enterprise company, just throw it to another company to do without having visibility, transparency. Sure. They weren't into that. So I built it on my own. I said, hey, let me bring in a developer. Let me build something for their company. Mm. We covered 150K in the first 6 months.
Ooh.
Amazing. For them, not for me.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, let's test it with some friends and family. And then before you knew it, word of mouth, went to that first Prosper show, met a ton of sellers there.
And what year is this now? What year is this?
This is probably 2018.
I think that's when reimbursements were getting pretty strong, because before then it was kind of ignored. And I think like some tools came out and like, people were just getting money like hand over fist. And I think Amazon's P&L, like they saw like reimbursements and they got scared and they changed the system. Yeah. But there was a few golden months maybe at that point when it was just like people were getting a ton of money. Yep. Okay. Let me back up a little bit, cause I'm quite interested. You said you went to studies in Israel, right? For 2 years. Was that, did you become some like a rabbi in training or some, was there like, what was it? What was that?
Learn more, study, you know, the Talmud, and just also the experience over there. Get the freedom, the dorms, learn about the culture. It's kind of like a gap year.
Mm-hmm. Gap year in terms of business.
Say that again.
You're saying a gap year like in terms of business?
Gap year. No, some people before they go to college after high school, they take a year to go traveling and seeing the world and stuff.
Okay. And did you, I've seen a lot of people and I know people, you know, in that area, like Israeli, like in from right. Israel, from like kind of Hebrew descendants, I mean, just happened to be extremely, extremely good online. Like, I don't know. That's maybe it's like it's a positive thing. I'm not trying to be, you know, whatever, but it's very true. And I'm wondering, has, you know, your faith and you could just talk briefly about it. Has it helped you, you know, succeed in like, I know you're paying your people extremely well, like in terms of the VAs and some programs that we'll talk about in a little bit, but how has that helped you or how has it evolved your business practices?
Well, every morning we study, and in the studying, there's a lot of logic back and forth, disputes, how to understand that, how to understand this. And in doing so, you're training your brain every morning. You think it's intense thought and study, and it really gets your mind sharp from the morning, legit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, seriously, from 6, 7 a.m., you're already getting your brain working. You get to the office, you're already firing. You don't need that, you know? So from 9 a.m., you get to the office, your brain's ready to go.
Nice. And you're doing that now, or was that?
Yeah, still now. Yeah, every morning.
Nice. And in your studies, like, what are you taking practical things and like
applying? Of course, yeah.
Yeah, could you give me an example if you'd like to share? Maybe I'm sure maybe not all interviews ask about this, but I'm very interested.
Well, probably we could do that on an offline one.
Offline one. Let's do an offline then. Okay, good.
We're gonna lose
too many
listeners.
Okay, good. Fine. But let's put just to wrap this segment up. It's been extremely helpful for you, you know, to be extremely let's say faithful and having foundational values that you do every day, and you're. I've knowing your business, you guys are very much, you're giving when you're to your employees and to your customers. Cause I'm one of the customers of your company. And, you know, I think we're treated extremely fairly and, you know, the payments by a percentage, and you guys have a lot of people working our account. And so, fair to say that it's helping you in a big way.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. And then you said, how did you find this company working for an e-com agency or whatnot? How did you get in touch with them?
Family friend taking their wholesale business online. I had a drop of experience building my own business. Young 18-year-old ready to work hard and learn. And that's where I went.
Beautiful. That's amazing. And, you had no, you didn't do any sort of college. Is that correct? Good for you. I didn't do college. You know what I mean? So, and was that, were you planning to not go to college from the get-go or what? How did that happen?
I was planning to go to college throughout high school. And then I just, when I started thinking about business and how much I enjoyed selling those watches on Amazon and getting the work experience in this corporate environment where I had to have the ability, where I got an opportunity to get a leadership role in this enterprise level company from an early age, I felt I can learn from, you know, great people in this company that would probably be more valuable for me in the business world, which was the path I was taking anyway.
That's brilliant. I think that's a super smart move. And, it, you know, maybe you didn't get the commission on the watches, but you got the ultimate commission in terms of getting you on the right career and being an extremely successful business owner at this time. So, man, that's amazing. Okay, so you did this stuff. You're now the reimbursement king within the company. And when did you kind of decide, like, hey, and first, can you maybe talk about then? Because I don't know if I was so deep into reimbursements at that time. What exactly were the top refunds that you were successfully getting from Amazon? What were the, you know, the categories?
Right. So it started, the whole business started with FBA fees. This was something that no one was tackling at the time. It was not monitored in any way, but everyone knew it was a problem. Mm-hmm. That was what we started building the interface for, because we need to communicate with the seller to get their dimensions in order to really kick off this category. That was huge. Storage fees was massive because of Amazon. Fees. Yeah. So
if is that because the dimensions were off? And then if you, the dimensions were high, then you calculate the storage fees.
And then think about long-term storage fees.
Mm.
So it's all starting with dimensions. So that means we need, that meant we need, needed an interface at that time. So that led us into, okay, what are the inventory discrepancies, which maybe you don't need an interface for, but one of the other key components was, I don't like, and the company that I was working for instilled this into me, you can't just spray and pray cases at Amazon hoping that they're going to reimburse you. Mm-hmm. Make an accurate claim. You know, it doesn't make sense if you really only shipped 800 pieces, why are you making claims for 1,000?
Yep.
I'm sure Amazon employees also get frustrated seeing hundreds and thousands of inaccurate claims. Yep. So this interface also gave us the ability to speak to the sellers and say, hey, these are sidelined 4 or 5 cases we don't feel comfortable opening. They're beyond our comfortable limit of saying, hey, this looks inaccurate. Can you please verify? So that, what that did is that took our success rate through the roof.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, those two things of, hey, we must have an interface. What are the tools that we can plug in? Really, people fell in love with that concept, especially the enterprise sellers.
And was that was ready and then pretty quickly, because we're talking 2018 still at this time, right? So you
built we started 2017, 2018, we started going for customers.
Wow. So 2017, you built it. And was the company you worked for using the same exact tool, or they had a different system?
They weren't using anything. So we built it for them. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, this is too good to keep to myself. So then we went to the Prosper show in March of 2018.
Yeah.
Ray Berman was speaking about FBA fees in his opening ceremonies, you know, statement. There's an issue with fees. Everybody should get on top of that. Find some internal tool somehow, but it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
As they walked out of the out of that opening speech, this is us standing there saying, hey, we built a tool for FBA fees. Wow. So that trade show put us on the map right after that conference speech, and then word of mouth, it just got around.
And that's 2018, Prosper?
Yeah, you signed up 8/27/2018, so you signed up only a few months later.
There you go. Yeah, it was getting around, because there was a lot of, you know, the very first one that came out that people kind of jumped on was the Helium 10 one, because they were very quick to market, and they did more of a spray and pray, because again, they don't have virtual assistants working on your case, and they don't ask for dimensions. It was just, it became a subject, and boom, I saw a person that got like 160 grand. They opened it, put in, got 160 grand. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? So we went in there and I think we got 8 grand or 6 grand. I forgot what it was. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. But that was it. And that was like for a big history in the past. And so, anyway, so your tool, you know, from my, and I want to explain what I know about it, right? When you go in, you could put all the dimensions, and it's so important because people do not realize and how small dimensions can screw up their entire company, really entire margins. Yeah. Because not only does Amazon get it wrong, but sometimes you can rework the product. So in your tool, you put in like, okay, it's, you know, 12 inches by 18 inches by 4 inches or something like that. And if Amazon scans it to be 18.1 inches, right? Now you're oversized. You're getting charged like $4 more a unit or something like that. Basically they'll split your shipment into multiple.
That's shipments. Great point. Now that you fell into a different tier, your inventory is going to different locations. And sometimes the locations are far from your warehouse because it only has certain facilities that can handle the oversized items. and everything became a headache from one simple inch.
Yep. Or even 1 centimeter or like a tenth of an inch, right? Yep. And so I've seen people and they have a product that's, you know, 0.8 inches. And I'm like, look, your packaging is so fat, to make it smaller, get to 0.75 inches. Boom, you're going to save yourself 70 cents on every unit. And to a lot of people, this is a concept. And I think I'm talking fast for a lot of people because this concept is ignored by a lot of people because they just send it in and like Amazon charges what they charge. But before, or if you're using Seller Locker, you put your dimensions in. And if Amazon has dimensions that are not what match, then you guys will be able to find and be like, hey, we'll get you reimbursements. Correct? Yes. That's one of the features.
Yes. The other feature, to your point, is we built a calculator that tells you how, if you put in your product and it's maybe on the threshold or close enough, we'll give you recommendations. The calculator will spit out and tell you, hey, if you lower your smallest side by 0.2, you can fall into the smaller tier and save $2 a pop.
Exactly. And is that tool for only for Seller Locker users or is that open?
That's for everybody. It's a free calculator. I'll send you the link.
So what's the URL? I'll put it down in the show notes if you know.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. I'll get it for you.
Okay, we'll get it. So in the notes, we'll have that, the FBA fee kind of monitor check. And I actually built one of these myself because, really? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? A product that's maybe a dollar, right? COGS, your actual cost of the goods. Your fee might be $1.50 more because of a wrong dimension. So your fee mistake is more than your entire cost. So imagine if you can get your product for free, that's what monitoring the stuff and actually doing an audit on it can actually bring you. So this is a topic that is huge for sellers and a lot of them don't know about it. Sure. So, okay, cool. And the storage fees, give me some, how do you get back the storage fees? So if that's only after you kind of fix the dimensions, and how does that work?
You really spot on today, Aaron. So you go ahead and you win the FBA fee case.
Yep.
Right after winning the FBA fee case, it's not so hard to understand. It's just that the information is hidden from Amazon. It's in different reports. But potentially you can go ahead and calculate the volume of the product that your SKU took up compared to what the new measurement of, so it's what they had your product listed as, which our tool already knows, versus what we got Amazon to change it to, and the amount of inventory that Amazon is telling us that they stored for the last 3 months, multiplied by the difference, by the number that's within that tier, and we go ahead and ask for that item, for that dollar amount.
Nice. That's brilliant. And now a question for you. If they scan it, and let's say they scan it, and it turns out a little bit bigger rather than smaller, they don't go back and charge you more storage fees, do they?
No. Okay, luckily, they do not.
Yeah, luckily. So that's one thing. They're not hawks on in that direction.
Right.
And then what are the time limits? Because I believe when this started, there were almost no time limits, right? Meaning it didn't expire. If you had a refund due for you like 2 years ago, or at least 12 months, I think was for sure the limit that I remember, and you found out about it, you can ask for a refund and they'll give you your money back for, you know, inbound shipments that had pieces missing, things like that, you know, a year, maybe even 2 years ago.
Right.
So what was the time limits kind of originally and what are they now?
So I'll break it down for you. For FBA fees, the like you said, it used to be 18 months. You used to be able to go back 18 months, which was awesome. Someone signed up, we find the mistake, we can go back a year and a half and get them huge reimbursements.
Wow.
In that category. They brought it all the way down to 90 days.
90 days.
Okay. Which means that if something's wrong today, you better fix it now, because if you have sales in Q4 and you don't fix it now, you're not going to get the reimbursements for any of your sales in Q4. So that means you have to act now. You can't wait another 6 months and say, hey, I'll fix this eventually. If you don't fix it today, you're not getting your Q4 reimbursements back for FBA fees.
Yep.
For inbound shipments, anything related to inbound shipments, they give you 9 months. That's the window for inbound
shipments. Right
now? Yeah.
Oh, okay. It used to be longer, or was it always been 9 months?
Always 9 months. If you're 9 months in one day, done. they're pretty strict on that rule. And when it comes to inventory-related discrepancies, lost, damaged, customer returns, that things of that nature, it's still 18 months.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, because, I mean, they've lost your inventory.
Yeah.
And I have a story of a guy, and this is a case, and I don't know if you guys will flag this or have how many cases you've run into like this. But this company, they sent in, I want to say, 15,000 units of a product. And no joke, they all disappeared. Okay. And they did cases and this, and they talked about it for like 3 months. Okay. And Amazon would just be like, no, these never existed, never got it. They had to get a lawyer to actually go and like threaten legal to Amazon. After that happened, they go, Oh yeah, it did come up. We lost them, and they got reimbursed for the cost of all those products. And then their products started showing up as being sold by Amazon. And like, there was all these issues, right? But there was a point where they had to bring a lawyer in. And again, this is secondhand knowledge. I wasn't there on the account, but I heard from this a seller.
Right.
And how often does it come where Amazon maybe does a huge error and they won't, you know, man up for it, and you have to bring a lawyer or anything like that?
So I'll take it a step before then.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about your scenario. Sure. I mean, this is a podcast, or people can watch this as well.
Well, we could briefly talk about, I'll have the video. So if you're listening to the podcast, you can go on the YouTube channel, just search Aaron Cordovez, and we'll have this brief thing, but let's try to keep as much verbal as possible.
Sure. Yeah. I'll talk to it also. Almost every time now, Amazon does have pushback.
Mm-hmm.
So every time, Amazon will tell you no the first time. I would say 80% of the time, their first knee-jerk reaction is no.
For anything. Is that for, not for the fees? This is for inbound, everything. For lost, for everything.
Everything.
Okay.
It's like they make you prove it. If you make a claim, it's like insurance, basically.
Okay.
They're going to push back at you, and you're going to have to prove them wrong. And I'll tell you why I think they do this. They're trying to go ahead and make people bring either more information to the case.
Yep.
They don't want to give you the money that's due to you. They want you to prove them wrong.
Yep.
So what happens most of the time, and with sellers that do this in-house with VAs or other third-party agencies, when you have thousands of clients, it's very hard every day. Imagine you open up a claim, you put in the effort opening up the claim, and this is the response you get.
Mm-hmm.
A long, complex response with links to go look at this. They drop terms like fair market value, which people don't understand. How is a simple, not simple, but how is an Amazon seller or a virtual assistant overseas or the VAs that work for the third party agencies supposed to know how to respond to a case like this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds of different responses Amazon has. It's just impossible. And many times they leave it, it expires, and the sellers don't get what they're due.
Okay. So that was let me see, reconcile tab. Okay. So those missing items, you said, hey, these were missing. We didn't get reimbursed. Amazon gave you some money. Amazon says a bunch of stuff. Please allow me a detailed explanation on why you don't have any money, right? And then they give you a bunch of garbage.
So what happened in this case specifically, Amazon did reimburse the seller with Seller Locker,
mm-hmm,
$1,000. So he got back $1,000 out of the $2,000. So there's $1,000 left.
Mm.
Now, I want that full $1,000. That's all my profit margins. You're going to take half of the value of what you lost away. My profit margins were only 20% in general.
Yep.
My entire shipment is a waste of money or a loss. I'm taking a loss on the shipment. This tool that we built is built with machine learning. And we have millions of cases that we've submitted already. And we see so many, we have big data. Our tool with one click of a button can disprove Amazon using their own policies against them.
Mm.
We read the page. We understand what's going on. With one click, we'll actually disprove them with their own policies, justifying why we're due the rest of the money owed to us. And this Chrome extension has 120 different types of responses for 120 different types of scenarios, which we're adding every single week to disprove Amazon and take the case to the next level. So your question was, hey, you know, what do you do when Amazon says no? For claims, we do have a process for that, to take the process from A to B to C and keep escalating the cases as needed. We don't take no for an answer with this tool that we've built. There are scenarios where Amazon is playing hardball, you know, $40,000 shipment. There is still a need for lawyers in that scenario. But we do win $40,000 claims. We had a 25K one coming yesterday. So with this process, we are winning a lot. But yeah, we've heard about the big ones too.
And that's brilliant. And I'm sure since you guys, you know, I was talking to our freight team before the call, and I was like, hey, do you have any questions or whatnot? And they were like, well, no, we know that Seller Locker is working for their money, because, you know, you guys take a percentage of that refund coming back, and you're going to work for it, right? Rather than just having like a flat fee where it's like, I don't care if, let's say that case right there, it's $1,000 that would be gone out the window. Well, you're like, no, I want that piece, whatever percentage that's going to be. Like, I want a piece of that. So you guys are going to keep working on that. And it's worth, if you have all that data, you go, no. And you keep replying. Do they ever close out the case when you reply a bunch of times?
So what we see is they start ignoring us because they admit that they're wrong. But then the tool's smart enough. We're not looking to pick a fight that we can't win.
Okay.
So if we see that we hit a brick wall, we will let the seller know. The tool will let the seller know. And the tool also suggests, hey, it's been three times that you've attempted this. You can either get more proof from the seller, or our tool will suggest to the VA to just shut it down.
Okay.
Accept your losses. Because again, we're not looking to pick a fight with Amazon. We're not looking to do that. We're all on the same team, but we are fighting for the sellers and we want to be accurate. So we don't want just,
you don't want to fight exactly because there are things and there might be, maybe someone did something manually. There obviously are some errors that could occur.
Okay. For sure.
But yeah, so as I was saying is that you guys work for that commission piece, because if you get, you know, for our company, I was checking it and it's over $50,000 that you guys have gotten back for us, right? And you guys then get a boom, you guys get a chunk of that and it's worth it. We're on the same team. And of course, Amazon, you know, I know there are people who, let's say you have a 1,000 unit shipment and 900 arrived and they're going to be like, well, give me that 100, even though they didn't send the full amount, like you mentioned, and your seller locker school is like, dude, you didn't send that. But Amazon is also has a point where, hello, they need to defend themselves too, because if not, people are just going to like lie all the time. So they need to verify it. Yep. And the cool thing, I really think that Chrome extension is pretty awesome. And that's relatively new, no?
That was last September.
Last September.
But you don't need to know about it. We're taking care of it. It's like an internal tool we built for us, but it's really cool.
Oh, that's not one that people install. That's for their VAs.
Everyone has access to it, but most people, we didn't build the tool initially for VAs. We built it for the sellers themselves. Even when you came on, we didn't have VAs. But then I guess sellers are too busy to even click one button, which I know what it's like. I know what it's like. So we had to bring in VAs to do the same things that you would have done. And we built this for them, but also for some sellers like to do it in-house. So they use the Chrome extension.
That's brilliant. Okay, good. And then could you say, like, when someone comes on, do you have like an average amount, let's say reimbursement versus revenue, or like what could somebody expect? Let's say they've never done any reimbursements or gone for anything and they're coming right now. They're selling on Amazon, they're selling at say $30,000 a month, $100,000 a month. And they're coming to you guys, they connect the tool. What do you see or what do you expect to see normally in that account?
If someone's never done reimbursements before, and actually it's pretty close. The average is between 1-3% annually. So the first year might be closer to 3%. Mm-hmm. And then every year after that, between 1-2%.
That's of the revenue.
Of their revenue we can recover, which comes out to like 6-10% of your profits sometimes. But yeah, 1-3% of someone's annual revenue.
Wow. And that's again yearly, right?
Annually, yeah.
Annually. Okay. And then what do you see like the biggest chunks come from? What are the biggest gains or losses?
The biggest, it depends. So some sellers who are doing high volume, lost inventory is huge. Loss and damage inventory just keeps getting lost in their warehouse. For some sellers, it's inbound shipments. For some sellers, like you mentioned, who are also doing high volume and have different thresholds of where their products lie, it's not even about the money they get back. It's about the money they save going forward and future profits because they fix their fees. Mm-hmm. That's a component that nobody even thinks about. We have one seller that recovered, made $4 million more profit this year because they fixed their fees.
Wow. Wow. And of course, that's a humongous company that probably has a ton of people already in their freight department, already doing dimensions. So what do you think got, like, why did Seller Locker make a difference for them? Obviously, they already have a huge team, already people monitoring, most likely. What did you guys do special?
So on that specific account, and that's an extreme case, but that specific account, the SKU is on the threshold. It's 17 point, it's actually, 17.75.
Mm.
And now it's on the threshold and all of their products are on that threshold. And every day it keeps, and we have to keep fighting. It's not a one-time fix. It's an ongoing battle.
And yes, actually, let's talk about that, because here's a crazy thing. We have products that are on that range, right? 17.5 or 17 or whatever. But what happens is the box might get, one unit might get a little bit squished.
Yep.
And if they do a scan or receiving in one warehouse, that one thing gets marked at 18.1 inches. Everything goes crazy. But most of them are there. So what if you do, like, let's say, I know there's a thing called a Cuba scan where they, you know, they actually scan it. That's like, I think it's a trademark of the machine they use. Anyway, so they'll get it. And then what if they got a unit that was fat and it went to 18.1? Like, what do you do then?
So what happens next in our process is our tool will actually find it. It will create an internal case on the dashboard. It'll say, we have a new case ready to open, FBA fees. We go ahead and we ask Amazon to remeasure, and they'll remeasure it. And hopefully they remeasure it correctly on a new SKU with a better packaging that didn't have that issue, and they'll correct it. And then they'll credit you backwards for the other SKUs that were sold.
Okay. And okay. So what do you, is there a way like to not have the boxes like squish? You know, have you talked to sellers like, hey, get this X package is better, 5-layer cardboard versus 3-layer, or is there anything you've seen that makes it not like expand? Because I'm imagining you're dealing with a humongous seller that's right at 17.76. What have they done that maybe we could use to like not have it ever be over?
Well, what they've done is they've looked at our calculator and they kind of started seeing with their factory how much they can cut out from the right and from the left. Mm-hmm. And they're able to bring down their packaging cumulatively by 2 inches. Mm-hmm. You know, a 0.5 there and a 0.5 here. And they were able to bring themselves farther away from that threshold, which the calculator helped them do.
Right. Okay. So that
I also recommend never pack in poly bags.
Yes. Yes. And I agree with that. That's
that's like a number one thing.
Okay. Okay. And is that for thin products or what? Like a cell phone case in a poly bag or?
Even clothing. People do clothing in poly bags or gets the factories will do it. They'll air seal it. So they'll go, and it's not even more expensive, about, you know, a few pennies more to either do tight.
But that's to prevent it. That's like air seal's perfect, right? There's no problem with an air seal.
Yeah. Or they'll do tight. They'll don't leave the extra 3 inches of packing, just the one time that the guy measured it with the extra 3 inches.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a big one.
Okay, good, good deal, good deal. And then, okay, good. So if people want to sign up for Seller Locker, right? We'll have a link below. We talked about this, but what kind of offer do you have for them to try it out? See, hey, what money can you get us back for? And I know you guys will take care of them, but what could you offer the listeners?
Sure. So right off the top, anybody who's listening and wants to use Aaron's promo link will get the first $500 that they recover on the house. Give it a try. See, you know, how we do what we do. And sign up. The way it works is you sign up, you get an account audit. So we'll show you with your own dashboard, you know, how to use the tools, the pieces of information we may need from you to get started. If necessary, sometimes we don't need anything from you. We'll agree on a rate and we'll push forward. We'll show you the different features that we need, like the texting feature, where you can actually whip out your cell phone, give that cell phone number to your warehouse if you want, have them take pictures of bill of ladings, and you could text us your bill of ladings. It'll automatically, using image recognition, put the right shipments in the right cases, the right images in the right cases, because you need these as proof. These stamp bill of ladings and these documents, these are all necessary to win cases. So we built all these different tools. We'll show you how to use them. 10-minute demo. And that's it. We're off to the races.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, good. And then a last thing on Seller Locker, and then we'll move on to this other thing, which we talked about. But, you know, what is the big difference between Seller Locker and, let's say, there's other tools out there, you know, search like FBA refunds, whatever. Some guys will do it $100 a month. You get a tool and it'll like do a bunch of random stuff. And we talked about a couple of differences, but what do you see? I know a lot of people are signing up to you guys after using other tools.
Yeah.
So what do you see?
Those are my favorite guys. So the biggest difference is a point that we mentioned earlier, actually 2 points that we mentioned earlier. One is responses. Mm-hmm. There's no company out there without a tool that has a Chrome extension like the one that we built, which we're the only ones that have, that can manage Amazon's responses. If 80% of the time Amazon's, you know, giving you a hard time, they're pulling your leg or they're playing hardball, and you don't have the tool set up to fight back, most companies are opening up cases and then not following up to actually win them. So if they get a reimbursement on the first try, great. What we see when other people come from other companies is, we actually pick up all those times that the person got denied.
Mm.
And then we fight those too with our Chrome extension. So we pick up where they left off, which is funny, they did the beginning part, and we take it to the you know, you get stuck in the red zone, you don't get a touchdown. So we help take it all the way to where he's got to be. And that's huge. Just responding to cases. We are the only solution out there with a proper responding tool that doesn't let cases get, you know, stuck behind and expire. FBA fees is something that Seller Locker built its business on and still specializes in. And then something that we call prep, that prep section, getting us the documents using the texting feature, mm-hmm. or verifying shipments with us before we submit them, because we don't feel comfortable. Those are things that, again, are important to us that we've built into the interface so that we can go ahead and open up each case with a high success rate.
Nice, nice. And then that's one of the reasons we love Seller Locker is that you guys have an army of virtual assistants, like opening cases, doing this. Like I don't have to think about it. And these guys are pros. That's all they do all day. So I agree. That's an excellent point. And to date now, do you know the cumulative amount of refunds that you've gotten for sellers up to today?
This month was 2.1.
2.1 million. And then total, maybe what?
It's between 30 to 40.
30 to 40 million.
Don't tell Amazon.
yeah. Well, they won't know the difference, right? They don't know if it's Seller Locker, right?
They do.
They do. Okay.
We're not hiding. We actually are in Amazon's app store. Okay. So they vetted us 2 to 3 times already. We had another meeting with them 2 days ago. They like to see how, you know, what logic we're using. Every time we talk to them, they create another tool to make it harder for us. But
hey, as long as it's really lost, then I don't think they can make enough tools, and you guys will be on top of it. So that's pretty good. Okay, awesome. And then with this army of VAs that you've had, we just talked about, you know, before we got on air, was something you've been doing, you know, the kind of the next phase. And is this still branded like Seller Locker? Or are you making another company for this piece?
So it's still Seller Locker. We saw that people have other needs. They have other things that cause them to lose sleep at night. I'll give one simple example: stranded inventory and suppressed listings.
Oh yeah.
It's not like Amazon tells you, at least with enough detail, what's wrong with an item before they suppress it. Now, you who's focused on sales, new launches, advertising, Q4, it's the holidays, you just want to enjoy Christmas, get an email, you know, in the morning saying, hey, your item's taken down, you have 24 hours to respond. It's just so exhausting and taxing. Mm-hmm. Something that we've done is we already have this army of VAs. We've already built so many SOPs and tools to organize, watch, streamline. We're running a tight ship with them. Mm-hmm. What else can we teach them and train them with? And that's what we did. We taught them how to manage 70 other tasks. Dealing with suppressed listings and stranded inventory is just one of them, but they can help with back-end search terms, managing your promos and coupons. Nobody sets those up properly. You know, if you buy this, you get 15% off of the milk powder, and we get all that stuff all together, set it up for people. 70 different tasks that I'm not going to list all 70 now.
Okay. And so one of the tasks that I'm particularly interested in was these listing images, right? A lot of guys, when they start off, they're like, oh gosh, do you know a good photographer? Do you know a good blah, blah, blah? They spend all these hours and hours on Fiverr or Upwork, or, you know, their buddies who's a designer or whatever. And a lot of times their listings are pretty bad. Or they get just images from the factory, which a lot of times are copyright infringement. So that's kind of a thing to do, images. So you told me about this kind of image package. Is that something you could see on the site, or you could just talk about it and then you have to email, or how do you get this offer?
I can give you the link.
Okay. We'll put the link there, but talk about that image package. And if you want to share it too, you can share it.
Yeah, I will. So again, here's, like you said, people, they start off and they're trying to get involved with a small investment, and then to properly do these images the right way. And I don't know if you know this, Aaron, but if you ever look on your mobile, which I'm sure you shop on Amazon, images are 85% of that main screen. Mm-hmm. People are buying based off of reviews, images, and price. That's the key. Maybe they have to click to see the features and stuff, but 85% of what people see when they make a mobile purchase is the image. And we know that the premium brands have jumped into lifestyle and infographics. Now, it's usually very expensive, between $200 to $300 per ASIN to do infographics, or that's what it used to cost. Mm-hmm. And that's simply because you have to work with a design team and you're only giving them a little bit amount of work. So therefore, they want to charge you a premium. Seller Locker has 4,000 clients now. with a massive amount of ASINs. And we were able to partner up with a design team and bring ridiculous prices because of the high supply. So we have high volume and we did a beta. We got 200-300 people to try it. And we were able to guarantee ridiculous rates to get these products, you know, superimposed and optimized for about $89 for five to seven images of, you know, give us your basic products. We'll take it to the next level for you with Photoshop and stuff. No matter how complicated it is, we'll find a way.
Look at that. That looks really real. That looks really real right there.
This one was tough. This one was tough.
And if it's tough, do you charge anymore or no?
No.
Okay, good. So
yeah. Our pricing is $89 for one, a three pack, which is three ASINs, not three images, three ASINs, five to seven images is about $229. And then we have more deals for the more ASINs that you give us.
And again, guys, normally, you know, a photographer for one image sometimes will charge $50 and up, okay, for one image. For design work, you know, if you're going to a lot of places, a lot of designers might charge $20, $30 for an image or something like that. In this case, just doing the math, it's like $12 or $13 and you can get it down to closer to $10 if you're doing three ASINs. And here's the deal, guys, and I preach about this all the time, is like you need to try images, try new images. Testing your images is one of the biggest things that you can do to actually increase your conversion rate and increase your overall sales. So, you know, worst case, I'm actually going to try this. I'm going to send this. I have a couple of brands to try this out on, and I'm excited. And that's sellerlocker.com/images. Okay. I just saw the URL. So, pretty cool thing. I've never seen someone have it that low rate, and the images look pretty decent. Again, it's not like friggin' high studio, super crazy thing, but honestly, I've seen some top sellers that have horrible images. So like, you know, if you're trying to be 100% perfect, this is not it. But like, hey, you can get way above the what some people sell at is all I'm saying.
I'll go 80%. You can give us
80%. 80%. 80% there. That last 20%
is 80%. 80% on $80 is great. Hey,
that's pretty good. And the last 20% is going to cost you another $500. The 20% is going to cost you $500. Okay, good. Yeah. Awesome. And I mean, that's pretty amazing. And then what of the, you know, in hiring all these virtual assistants, is there any, do you do hiring yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a whole training that we go through. It's about 3 months of training until we get it right.
Oh.
And that's it.
Whoa. Okay, hold on. So when you hire somebody, they go through 3 months of training before they get on the job?
So they work with, not in CellarLocker. I'm talking about the virtual assistants within CellarLocker or salesmen and stuff.
Either. I just want to get recruiting tips because, you know, you clearly have done a very good job with these virtual assistants in general, but also your team, I'm sure, is extremely efficient. Right. So just some hiring tips in general.
But they go through 3 months. I mean, this is not typical. They go through 3 months of training with their own. We have a virtual assistant Amazon training course.
Okay.
And this is for the 70 different tasks.
Yucks. They're going to learn everything.
On those 70 different tasks. And then after that, we test them with reimbursements using the tool and monitoring them on low, easy level tasks until they can become, let's say, a responder, someone who's capable of responding to cases with accuracy and communicating with sellers in a way that the sellers would appreciate. So it's a process. We have it all, you know, streamlined.
Wow. And what training tool do you use? Like, how do you keep those procedures to training the people and like use a certain software?
Well, we use CheckFlow.
CheckFlow. Okay.
I set up the processes one step at a time. First do this, then do that. It's connected to APIs. We're feeding it data. We track how long it takes. Very intense stuff.
Okay, good. I'll have to check that one out. We're looking for like a training. We're not experts at that. So, okay. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay, man. And then is there anything that you have seen? You've worked with so many sellers. Oh, actually, how your largest seller or your largest sellers, like what kind of bracket are they in range?
100 million plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good.
We have two of the top 10.
Two of the top 10. Wow. That's
and brilliant. 10 and 12 of the top 100. Like we work with, I would say the top Amazon. So I think we have at least 10% of the top 500 even.
Wow. That's amazing.
I have one seller that I think in the next 3 days is going to break the $1 million mark in 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
$1 million in recoveries.
Oh, in recoveries. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was like, $1 million. I'm like, huh? Talk about, okay.
It's $1 million in recoveries.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Good. Good. What do you see, right? Cause you, I don't know how many of them you talk to, right? Cause not all your customers have a podcast like myself, but, what have you seen like these top sellers that are extremely successful? How have they gotten there? Right. I got people who want to make it, you know, they're not going to focus a lot of their time on reimbursements, right? They should just sign up for SettleLocker, sure. You know, and have, you know, somebody do that. But what have you seen is like the common denominator between the most successful sellers?
So I'd say the biggest thing to focus on right now is taking those things that are dragging you down, the stranded inventory, the things that take very long, maybe the keyword research, the items that are taking, you know, the 2-3 hours of your day where you're not focusing on putting together, you know, set up procedures. Everything has to have a process.
Mm-hmm.
Take the 20 things that you're doing. Anytime you have something that you're doing 3 times or more per week, streamline it. Automate it as best as you can and hand it off or delegate it to someone who can be doing it for less. Meaning if your time is worth $20, $30 per hour, give it to someone who you can pay $6 an hour for or $3 an hour for. They can do those tasks. You focus on, you know, what's my giveaway strategy? What's my PPC strategy? Stuff like that. And in doing so, you'll start creating better effective launch strategies, which is really where it's at. Like, you know,
Nice. Okay, good. And then one thing, we didn't talk about the rates, but you mentioned a rate of the VA, these different tasks. If someone wants to go there, what were the rates right at this time? Of course, I know it can change, but let's say you didn't want to do something like that. And I'll let you briefly go into that if you want to.
Say that one more time, Aaron.
If you want to go into the rates that you charge for, let's say, these different tasks, you want someone to, I don't know, whatever task you have.
We're at $400 a month for about 30 to 40 hours of virtual assistant time, which is, you know, very, very cheap, ridiculous rate.
Unheard of. I mean, it's an extremely, extremely good rate. And these are people who've gone through this three-month training?
Yes.
How many people make it? How many people make it on your three-month training?
How many people don't make it is the question.
Okay.
I don't know. We don't have that stat down. But truth, we work with them to perfect each and every task. It's not about, not making it, and we get them to where they have to be.
Brilliant. All right, Joe, it's been great. And do you have any, you know, parting words? Obviously, sign up for SettleLocker. You know, check it out. If you've used your refund tools, check it out. And just anything else that maybe we haven't covered that you think people should know either about the tool or about anything in general.
He saved me $1 million.
Boom! There you go.
How's that for a line driver?
I like that one. Who's that? Is that a business partner?
No. It's one of my business partners, yeah.
Okay, there you go. And I guess he's...
And also a seller. Yeah, okay. He's one of our... Actually, we beta tested. That was one of our beta testers.
Oh, sweet. Well, that's a good testament. All right, Joe. Thank you very much, and talk to you later.
You got it.